Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Celtic Now and for our podcast. My name is Ryan Clifford. This podcast this week is really about it's a bit of change in the podcast. We're going to talk about the financial gap, obviously down south and up here in Scotland. And obviously, how's that? It's a big thing at the moment, Eddie Howe. Rumoured to be obviously closing talks. Again, we don't really know the full deal if it's going to be happening or no, but by the looks of it, it's a goer. Some of the information, as we've all heard on Twitter and individual stuff, it looks like it could be true. So we'll kick on the night show. We're joined by Robert Boyle again. Robert, how's things, mate?
Good, Brian. Thanks. Yourself?
How's that, mate? You feeling good?
Aye. Well,
yeah, I know.
If it gets pushed over the line, I will.
And we're also joined by Christy Donnelly. Christy, how's things, mate?
Aye, good, mate. How are you both?
I like good. That, mate. I like it. I'm good, mate. Obviously, first time on, Christy, how's things been with you in the last few months?
Yeah, it's been not bad. I mean, same as everyone else, really. It's just a mental time, isn't it? I mean, who'd have thought this time last year would be thinking, when can I have a pint in a pub again? But, you know, I'm ticking over, you know, It's near the end now, so not so bad.
I know you're talking about pints. I know, I think we're craving pints, especially the way Celtic have been this season.
They could have turned you to a lot of drinks this season, Ryan. But as Christy says, it's getting to the end of the tunnel. And hopefully it's getting to the end of the bad season and things are going behind in the background now that starting to see on the management front and the director of football. So hopefully when COVID's over and all the shite Celtic's been is over, I know Don for us all.
I hope, mate, hopefully. Obviously we've got Euros coming up, and hopefully we can get into stadiums if we can next season, and obviously whoever the new manager is going to be, if it is Eddie Howe, we can support and can drive the team on. Obviously, Christy, you've been down south basically since you were born, I think, mate. So how does it work with a Celtic fan? How did you get involved? Is it through family, or is it just actually kind of basically seeing it everywhere and thinking, I want to be a Celtic fan?
Yeah, no, it was my daddy. He was born in Clydebank. All his side of his family's from Clydebank as well. So I never really had a choice. You know, it was from the moment I can remember, it was Celtic. I know I hear stories from my dad that he has a few mates and they were trying to put me in Liverpool kits and United kits and stuff like that. But it was just always Celtic. I never really had a choice, and I'm glad for it, to be honest.
Because how has it been, obviously, how's it supporting Celtic down south? Like, obviously, you might not get every game or whatever else. And obviously, I don't know if you could be working the weekend, you can't watch the games. But do you feel like you're kind of, how do you say it? You're kind of away from it. You don't really get as much into it as because you're living down south.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's hard to get to games, to be honest. There's a bus, actually, that runs from Blackpool straight to Glasgow, every game, Celtic supporters bus. So my dad used to take me on that a few times when I was a kid, you know, a lot of drinking, a lot of stuff like that. But obviously I was just a little boy and just wanted to go and watch Celtic. And then, so just to answer your question of do I feel a bit out of it? Yeah, it's hard to, especially with the accent as well. As soon as I tell someone I'm a Celtic fan, they're like, what? Where does that come from? So, yeah, it's hard, but you know, you watch every game and you support them as much as I can, really. It's tough to get every game.
That's quite interesting to mention, isn't it, Rob, about the day I bust your Blackpool out again, because a lot of people mention how far people travel from Ireland. Just shows you that there is some fans down south that can travel the country to support Celtic.
Yeah, there's
a lot of buses, Ryan. You wouldn't believe, like, there's Celtic clubs all over London, and there's one bus that I see it mostly every home and away game. It's a Coventry Emerald, they're called, for Coventry. And they seem to be religiously home and away all over Scotland and Europe to see Celtic. So there is loads of buses down South England and all over the country that do follow Celtic and Wales and that as well. So, as I say, when you go abroad, you meet supporters from all around the world, you're gobsmacked, you know what I mean? I met the Strasbourg Celtic Supporters Club in Milan years ago, and I was thinking, you've got all these good teams in France, you've got good teams in Spain, who's just across the border, but they chose Celtic. It's funny, it's really, really funny, but I suppose that's why Celtic's such a big club it is, and people do fall in love with Celtic and want to support them.
As you mentioned, mate, it's Celtic, a massive industry, they're a massive club, the fan base, it's got everything, I think. Obviously, Chris, you'll maybe know more. Is there a lot of Celtic fans running about your area at all, or anybody you know, or is it really like your Man United, your Arsenal's, and even Blackpool fans?
Yeah, Blackpool, to be honest, it's probably more Rangers in Blackpool. So there's a good number of Celtic fans still, but it's usually more your United's, Liverpool's, and then there's obviously loads of Black fans as well. I go to a few Blackpool games. I had a season ticket the COVID year, and that's a good laugh. But yeah, it's mainly Blackpool and English teams, and then probably, like I said, more Rangers than Celtic in Blackpool.
Because I think it kind of rings a bell. You've seen kind of a Blackpool support buses, Sporting Reds and stuff. But obviously I don't really know much about down south, the areas that support Celtic. Is there any prominent areas that are mainly Celtic? I don't really know, to be honest with you, mate. It's just be good to find out.
Do you mean like an area in Blackpool?
Just in general down south. Do you know any areas that are prominently Celtic at all?
It's weird. I probably would have said, it's going to be weird, Liverpool probably would be a Celtic, you know, because of the Irish, a lot of Irish obviously went there. But then you see a lot of Liverpool Rangers fans because of Gerrard now. So I'm trying to think of whereabouts in England, but I couldn't even pinpoint one.
I'm just curious because obviously I don't know how long you've been away but not been back to Glasgow, but most of the time, isn't it, Robert? You either support Celtic or Rangers, and you might get the odd Partick Thistle fan or Airdrie fan, but it's very prominent in Scotland that you either support one of the two. It's very prominent at all.
It is, Ryan, but we've got a lot of people in Glasgow who support Man U and stuff like that as well, you know what I mean? When I was growing up, we all seemed to pick an English team for your second team, and that varied from Blackburn Rovers to Newcastle to Celtic to Man U, to Chelsea, to Arsenal. And I always loved Arsenal when I was a wee boy, even though they were the boring Arsenal. And then as I got older, I found that Rangers had shares with them, and I just cut all ties with them. It's sad as but I did. I went, you can't support two teams. Like,
no,
I used to take my cousin, you can't support two teams because they were bright big Man U fans, my cousins, and Celtic. And I said to him, he's need to pick one because he always wanted to get into Man U games and stuff. So I used to wind them up and say he could only pick one, but see you on that, Christy. See your very first time going to Celtic Park. What can you remember about it? And was it a lasting memory? And did obviously its nickname is Paradise. Did you feel Paradise?
Yeah. The first game, I'm pretty sure, was the Anderlecht in the Champions League. And I think it was when, did Liam Miller score? It's just coming out and seeing the pitch, and I must have been 4 or 5 years old, and just remember thinking, oh my god, I can't believe what I was seeing. You know, you're getting all the kits when you were younger, and when you've I actually remember the day because it would have been a Champions League. I remember getting pulled out of school by my dad probably at about 11 in the morning, and just being like you know, so excited to finally get in there. And then when you get there, it's something else. I mean, I always say to people, you know, people my age, English, get to Celtic Park on a European night. And that is an atmosphere.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, Shibi, you mentioned that. Obviously, as you mentioned before you came on, down south they call it a pub league and Celtic means only this and that. But as you mentioned, some of the English teams down south have never had European nights at Celtic. They don't have, as you say, the lights and the Tuesday night freezing cold, the lights, the music. And we, us as Celtic fans, we know how good it is and how good it can be, and it drives the team forward. Just like obviously coming from down south, and you've seen your Man United, your Man U's and whatever. The atmosphere, as you mentioned, it doesn't compare to a lot of teams in the world.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't compare, especially in England. I mean, I'm trying to think of the best English atmosphere. They say Liverpool, but it's just nothing compared to Celtic, is it? I mean, I've been to trying to think Man United. It's not great. That's the thing with the Premier League. The SPL, the SPFL gets called a pub league, but what I love about it is it's so passionate, it's proper football. And then you look at the Premier League, which is apparently the best league in the world, so much talent, but just a tourist league. And everyone admits it as well. There's absolutely no atmosphere. Teams like Southampton and just nothing teams, Norwich coming up every year. That's why I love Scottish football, because everyone hates each other. It's proper football, proper fans, and just nothing like the Premier League.
I think you've kind of had it. For me, you've hit the nail on the head, because I think Celtic, even Rangers, as much as we don't want to speak about them here, their atmosphere is good. And when you look at the match, obviously I've been to one or two English games, but most of the time it's match of the day, Robert, in it, and you see the games on Sky. And like, the thing that gets me, Robert, is the derby games. Aye, there might be big games, but they bum them up the full week and it's nothing, each draws, and they're all, oh, how you doing? I'm like, no, that can't happen. And it, Robert, it's very, it's not a derby match. A derby match is fighting in the tunnels. And for me, it's just, that's my take on it. For me, a derby game has got to be rough and ready, tackles. Obviously, due at the moment, COVID, the Celtic Rangers games up here have not been as frantic as the fans in there. But in general, Robert, it's up here, it's a derby match. It's a derby.
See, when they were saying to give them a guard of honour, right, that was just driven English media, as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And why take that raw passion and hated and whatever out of it? Because it then becomes a Man U and Man City, where these players go and hug each other at the end of the game as if they're playing with their mates out the back garden. You know what I mean? That's meant to be a big derby, Man U and Man City. And then after the game, you see John Stones, and I can't remember who else, but they were hugging after the game and talking. And I was saying, if that went and happened at the Celtic and Rangers games, then it would be gone. There wouldn't be anything worth really watching after that, would it? It's taking the right path. Excitement out of a game. I want them to fly into tackles, hate each other. See if they speak after the park, that's fair enough. Maybe meet each other in a coffee shop. But for that game and that 90 minutes and everything that surrounds it, it should be just total derby fever, hatred, flying in tackles, yellow cards, Scott Brown giving them the death stare. Just do what it is. It's known worldwide for being the best derby in the world, supposedly. We'd say it is, but other people might not say it, and that's, you don't want to change that in football. It's like Boca Juniors and River Plate, probably a wee bit different kettle of fish, but it's the passion and the raw hatred in it that people go, I want to watch that. You couldn't go and watch a Celtic Rangers game if they're hugging and gaining each other's guard of honour, could you?
Could you imagine the picture of the guard of honour? That would just absolutely ruin it.
That would just be the end of the old firm. It just doesn't make sense to me, but I just thought that was driven by English media.
It was never a thing.
They don't understand it. Until they've been up here, experienced it and played in it, that's the only way they would know exactly what it meant. I mean, you can imagine people who's given their all to this, probably doesn't talk to the other half, the family, whatever. And yeah. then they walk out and there's a guard of honour and you were in that stadium. The boys would ring in the stadium and there'd be scarves slung onto the pitch. Obviously, yeah. they can't COVID times, but yeah. it just let it be what yeah, it is.
What one of the best stories of the Old Firm I love, I think it's Barry Ferguson, and he said he looked up into the crowd and it was his father-in-law or something going, giving him all that. that's what it's all about. That's what yeah. it's all about.
No, definitely. It's definitely up here. It's not the pinnacle of your season, but I don't know what it's like down south. Does it ever get hyped up or anything? But up here, as soon as the Monday comes, it's Monday in the paper, the back papers, the front papers, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, social media is hyped up. Your banter with your pals, your group chats are all fine. We got to do this, we got to do that. And then it gets to, I don't really get nervous in the games. I'm always confident Celtic are going to win, no matter how bad they're played. I'm right. always coughing. Ah, you get a wee butterfly and you're like, yeah. and I'm not that, but I don't really get nervous. During the game, I'm like, you're kicking every ball, but is the media hype down south, does it get any recognition at all?
It's not Monday to the kickoff like it probably is in Glasgow. I can imagine it being that the derby week is something else, I can imagine, but down here, It gets a bit. Even Sky Sports, they don't even present it. Well, I mean, it's adverts here and there in the week, and then it's a 15-minute start up, and then the game's going. I want all morning coverage. I mean, it's not great for hyping it up. They hype Burnley against Stoke more than they do Celtic versus Rangers, put it that way.
Yeah. Because I think the biggest, what was I going to say there? See, like the biggest thing for me is it kind of shows you again, like Sky Sports, as you mentioned. I can remember when BT, Robert, I don't know if you watched the game, Christy. It was a final, I think, recently. A year ago or two,
and it was all morning.
Aye, and it was a cup final. I'm sure it was one with Julian. Maybe he scored.
Yeah, I think it was.
The full morning, and that was okay. I was in Tenerife that day, so I was kind of half cut. So, but it was like full coverage, and it was brilliant. But Sky, as you say, it's 15 minutes here and there. And see the hang as well. See even the recent game. It was about 45 minutes of coverage of Rangers. I'm like, Celtic are the home team.
Yeah.
Speaking about Celtic are the home team. Fair enough, you need to talk about the both teams, but you'd have think that it was all about Rangers. I understand they won the league for the first time and whatever, but there's two teams here, and I think, and I don't know what it's like down south again, but me and Robert spoke about it before, and I think many Celtic fans know that the media is always one side driven, and I don't think that will ever change.
No. Like you said, I was gutted when BT lost the rights, to be honest, because I love that, you know, the lineup they had, Chris Sutton. As much as Chris Sutton does like to wind them up, he's one of the only English pundits that bigs up the Scottish game. So as far as I'm concerned, he was a good man for that. And then McCoist, who's obviously ex-Rangers, but still good at speaking about both teams. And then now it's Sky Sports. Who is it? Chris Boyd, Chris Commons. Can they find someone better than them two?
Yeah, definitely agree.
Yeah.
The coverage isn't the best, and I think a lot of people are not happy with it, because obviously you're getting that coverage, and then the way Celtic's coverage has been this season with the fast and stuff, it's not been the best, and you're kind of paying your money through the two of them and not getting what Celtic call the added value. You're not even getting that with Sky Sports. But I think in general, like obviously Eddie Howe rumours are coming up now. Not really rumours, it's kind of what it looks at. It's maybe going to be set in stone. I don't know if you've seen much Eddie Howe down south, heard about him, what's people's thoughts, but obviously the rumours have started the last few days more than they have been. Has there been any kind of mummers about his appointment down south? Any views on it at all?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think his name was touted as soon as Lennon was gone, really, and he was probably my first first choice from the get-go, and obviously there was more. But I mean, in terms of Eddie Howe, the manager, the job he did at Bournemouth, because you have to realise Bournemouth, the it's like 12,000 stadium, they're a League One, League Two club, and he got them right from the bottom, right to the top, in a short space of time on a low budget. And I think he was even, I think when he got Bournemouth to the Premier League, he was in the conversation for the England manager when it was Southgate. It was either going to be Howe or Southgate. And I still think, to be honest, he'll probably become England manager in the future. He's kind of that kind of mould, you know. And I think he's perfect for Celtic. One, he's no affiliation to Celtic, which is something I wanted, because I'm gone are the days of the Pals Act, you know, ex-Celtic man. I think we need to steer clear of that. He's young, he's ambitious. And recently I've been watching videos on YouTube, and I don't know if you've seen him, the training videos and the way he talks. He's just got such a passion for the game, and I just think he's perfect for the job. I'm absolutely buzzing if we get him.
I think me and Robert have kind of spoken about him before on the podcast, and I don't know, a bit on him saying how he was I think Robert was obviously saying he would, ideal world, he'd be his first choice, but obviously Michael Neal, we're just trying to get guys who we think would maybe do a good job under a budget and stuff. But for me, he's been, as I say, if you listen to the podcast, guys who listen to it, he's been on my Christmas card list for a few months now. I've said for day one, I think as soon as kind of the rumours were kind of touted, maybe really about November and December, we're getting heavier on that. We spoke about it, how he'd been a perfect fit. As you mentioned, the YouTube videos, I've watched them myself, obviously, we're doing the podcast and just in general, because I'm not playing football anymore, I'm looking more into the coaching side of it. And he's just, it's just the fact that he's won the odd trophy with Bournemouth, he's gotten him up with a budget. Obviously, he spent a bit of dough in the Premier League, but compared to a lot of other clubs, it's nothing really. For me, I think he's got the, just everything about him, the way he talks, as Christy says, his tactics, he might concede a lot of goals, but we know we're going to get entertainment value off him.
Yeah.
What I like is he's took a year out of football. He's probably looked at all different scenarios and different ways of doing things, because he can sit back, no being the manager that's stuck in a bubble. He can go back, sit in the studios, watching the English games, watching lower leagues. He can watch everything through far afield. And if he becomes a Celtic manager, in his head, he will know it's the right time. He's refreshed. He's ready for a new challenge. And he'll probably come in with great new ideas. Because I think in any job in the world, if you're doing something long enough, you just kind of get stuck in some sort of rut in that way. Whereas sometimes to take a refresh start at anything, it's good, it's refreshing. And I think he's the right age, because Celtic job is a very, very hard job. It's 24/7, it's practically is. And I think if he does come in, I'd like to see him bring his own men in. Nae Nurse John Kennedy, nae laptop boy, nae that. you know what I mean? And Nick Hammond's away now as well, which is another, I feel, to me, it's another jigsaw that wasn't fitting into any puzzles that had to go. And I'm hopeful that there's a new guy in, there's a new scout in, new director of football. Whoever it may be, it's got to be all through Eddie Howe's way of thinking and Dominic Mackay's. And I just feel, get the ball in motion, everything starts going right, then it gives us a chance to at least identify players and a young, fresh youth approach to things and a new way of thinking, because I feel the old way done is a lot of good ways, a lot of good, but near the end, it done a lot of damage, I felt, in the end. And I just feel that script needs ripped up and restarted. And if Eddie Howe's the manager, then I'm all for it and delighted, because I think, as Christy said, he's no affiliation with Celtic, and he'll come in there and say, I do a job like Brendan Rodgers, I'll be in the limelight again. Apparently, he's not back to English clubs already. I've heard one with Sheffield United, just read it on Twitter. It was a Sheffield United article on it. I don't know the other Premier League club, but for me, that's great that he's now looking at Celtic and realising Celtic's such a big club. If he's what I talk to Celtic and he's not back to Premier League clubs. So it's all hopeful and good from what I'm reading and seeing.
Is that, I don't know if it's something you agree with as well, Christy, that he's a lot, for me, if I'm any Celtic fan, obviously we've all got opinions, that's why we love football, but how people can maybe turn their nose up at him, I find it very hard to kind of believe, because people say he's no had European experience, blah, blah, but when Ben Rogers came to Celtic, he'd done a day much with Liverpool and whatever else, he'd done okay at Swansea, he'd done decent at Liverpool, so take my hat after him, he was amazing at Liverpool. But for me, as you mentioned, you watched them on YouTube, and I can remember the other day I watched the game back when they beat Chelsea, and everything he says in it, they've done the tactics and everything. I think he knows what he's doing tactically. We might lose two goals that game, but we know we're going to get the added value that he's going to attack, and that's what for me, Christy, Celtic's all about is attacking, flying fullbacks, flying wires, and getting the balls in the box.
Yeah, he's. I know the video you're on about the tactic, but I mean, like I said, the way he speaks, you just from him speaking, you buy into it. I just think he's perfect. I mean, like you say, some of the football this season under Lennon, it's like nightmare fuel, isn't it? And you just need someone to come in, completely change the mentality of the team, just like Rodgers did. And it's sort of a mirror image of Rodgers, bar the fact he managed Liverpool. You know, they both got teams up. Rodgers got Swansea up, Howe got Bournemouth up, kept them there playing good football, good attacking football. And then both obviously left them jobs, and the stock was quite low, and you see how good Rodgers was. I just think it's a perfect fit.
Because it's similar for me, it's similar to maybe the rebuild when obviously Martin O'Neill came in. Obviously I was a wee bit younger, but you remember it, and you can look at obviously how the team was when O'Neill came in. The year before, we didn't do very well. It's a similar kind of aspect at the moment. I think he's going to come in and totally transform us. If he has him, as by all accounts, he's no signed yet. So until he's got a scarf on, and for me, but I, as you say, I think he's the perfect candidate in my opinion. And I think, as you mentioned about the job he got down Bournemouth, I think they are kind of always punching above our weight in a way. I've kind of looked at, obviously, there's a Celtic page on Twitter, and they were talking about the tactics and what he does and stuff, and you kind of look at that and you realise how kind of, you might have spent a lot of money, but compared to other clubs, it's still really a lot of money compared to, as you mentioned, your cities, even Arsenal, who are struggling for money. But I think, just as you mentioned, when he speaks, you respect what he speaks. You kind of listen, he's from the Rodgers mould, he's softly spoken, but listen and you engage, and I think that's not going to benefit the players if he does come in.
Yeah, like I said, the way he speaks, I'll bang on it again, it's so similar to Rodgers. The way Rodgers was, and I know obviously he's left a sour taste in everyone's mouth the way he left, but he's probably one of the best managers in the Premier League now. And what I loved about Rodgers was every single interview, post-match, pre-match, he seemed to just say exactly the right thing. He never lost his head like some others would do. You know, he was just so professional and never let the guard slip, if you know what I mean. And Eddie Howe seems exactly the same as that. So, excited to close him.
This is, hopefully, by all accounts, it's announced soon, but... Yeah. Obviously, we're talking about Roy Keane, and we spoke of that before. For me, I generally don't think Roy Keane was ever was ever getting offered a job. I don't think he even spoke to. They might have made a wee phone call or anything, but I generally don't think he was really, really going to be considered. Again, like, I don't know how the bookies market goes. You put a 10 on it, could put them for 30, 31 to 21. It's just you never really believe in bookies odds. But for me, the main candidates, obviously, there were a Howe, supposedly Keane, Jesse Marsh, and guys like that. Benitez has obviously spoken about link. But for me, Eddie Howe, as soon as I knew he's kind of interested and he was free, for me, it's kind of a no-brainer. And it's not really, people are going to say it's a gamble. For me, it's not a gamble. He's got Premier League experience, Premier League standard. I know we've had Tony Mowbray and stuff like that, but I think Tony Mowbray was maybe a good guy at the right time, and maybe the backroom staff is maybe getting involved too much. But for me, Eddie Howe, if he does come, he's obviously going to come with assurances that he's going to get backed, he's going to get his own staff, because a guy like him, in my opinion, wouldn't come if he wasn't going to get the final say.
No, that's what I mean. And obviously with Lowell going as well, he was obviously doing things behind the scenes with Rodgers, and that went sour quickly. I think that was two big egos clashing. And I just think the guy coming in, if it's Howe, needs full control, doesn't need someone in my ear, someone in that ear. Director of football, Eddie Howe, if it's Eddie Howe, and let them work out, you know, they get their players. I don't want to hear, oh, he bought him, that's not my signing. I want full control, which I think Eddie Howe will demand, to be honest. And yeah, like I say, I can't praise him enough for the job he did at Bournemouth. It goes unnoticed just because of how badly it went at the end, and the players started to chuck it. I mean, you say, you know, people say when he started to get money, he started to buy more bad than more good. But I mean, some of the players, I mean, he bought Callum Wilson, who ended up going for 15, 20 million, Ake to City, all them for virtually nothing. And there was more as well off the top of my head. I can't quite remember, but he's that's what impressed me. He had an eye for a player on a tight budget, which if the money's tight next year, you might have to do.
The thing is, well, for me, people might say it's no, but it's kind of a wee bit of a blockbuster appointment, if so.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit of a blockbuster. And I think, as you say, when he talks, he's respectful, as in the players all respect him. And I think guys like, obviously, Edouard, Ayer, these guys might be thinking about going. Maybe a guy like him came in. Again, we don't know what money might get thrown at Ayer and Edouard for transfer fees, if possible.
Yeah.
But I think a guy like that could maybe speak to one-to-one and say, maybe if it is Ayer and Edouard, listen, stay with me a year, start the rebuild, I'll give you a two-year deal, maybe an extra 10 grand a week. And if you do really, really well, we'll try and get you a bigger move next year. I'm just trying to think of ways where you can maybe try and build the team instead of as much as obviously Scott Brown's leaving. As a bit of the start of the rebuild, as much as we need a full rebuild, and we've not done that well, players have underperformed, you don't really want to get rid of the full squad, because in the day, there's still, you need to keep, I've spoken about before, again, Barkas, we don't know, for me, I'm going to, my personal opinion is Scott Bain's not good enough, it's just my personal opinion. I'm willing to give a new manager, and with Barkas, to another pre-season to get in, and because I've seen him with AK Athens and Champions League, blah, blah, blah. He plays with Greece. The guy can't be, for me, it's just my opinion, the guy can't be a bad goalkeeper. So I'm willing to give him time. I'm willing to give Yeti another pre-season to see how he gets fit. If he suits Eddie Howe's style of play, we're getting wingers involved. Because as you mentioned as well, he plays quick football and we've missed James Forrest. So we don't know if having James Forrest, he can maybe do what he done with Ryan Fraser at Bournemouth and get him playing away. So for me, I think it's only going to be a very, very positive, in my opinion, appointment. It's not going to be a gamble.
No, it's like I say, he's that type of good man manager from what I've seen anyway. People forget how good Callum McGregor was a couple of years ago under Rodgers. He was, in my opinion, I think he's the best midfielder of Scotland on his day. Under a new manager, he could blossom. Like I say, Yeti, I'm quite a big fan of Yeti. I think he's got quite a tough time. Obviously, he's not been fit a lot of the time, and you don't know how that's affected him. But he's a penalty box striker, and we've not played to strength at all all year. And there's been a few others, like I said, if he's Greece's number one and played in the Champions League and bought for £5 million, he's not going to be a crap goalkeeper, is he? There's obviously something there. He just looks shot. His confidence looks shot to pieces. And how can you blame him? I mean, Lennon was coming out and saying he's my number one and then dropping in a week after, you know, a guy from Greece coming in and the manager saying, now you're number one, now you dropped. He's bound to mess with your head. So there's a lot of players in that squad that could well be here next year that a lot of people have written off.
Because as you mentioned about Ayeti, for me, Ayeti, when he first came in, he reminds me a bit like Hooper, that stature. He might run the odd channel, but for me, he's a penalty box striker. I've seen him playing with Basel. I think he get 28 goals or something in a season with Basel, playing well, Anoussi out wide. Again, Anoussi, another player. I rate him very highly, but it's not really obviously based on the managers, but I really don't know where his best position is. But that's obviously doing if he stays next year, again, as you say, his money could be tight. We don't know how we're going to sell, who's going to come in, but I think a guy like him could if he does stay on, if it is Eddie Howe with the attacking play, it's another guy that could be very positive under a new manager.
Yeah, I mean, you saw videos of Ayeti at Basel, and all of his goals, the ball's coming into the box, he looks great in the air, and not once did I see a Celtic player put that ball right in his head all season. So, to me, he's... if he can recapture his form of his time at Basel, obviously he had a hard time at West Ham, but it's, like I said, under new manager, these players blossom. Mm-hmm. I think players like Callum McGregor, and if you said if you can keep even just one of Aya and Edouard and get a bit of money for one of them and keep the other, that's a bonus. That's a bonus.
For me, anyway. I don't know what you make it, but obviously, if it is how to come in, guys like, obviously for me, Christy, if you had a good offer for me, I would maybe right on you go, mate. But guys like Eddie and Aya, maybe how the blockbuster name could maybe persuade him to stay in our season, maybe get another 18-month contract, 2 year, right, stay here for a season, help me through the rebuild, and I might get you next year if you get his lead, because for me, obviously, I'm no one in your shoes, but if you're not losing the league, you might not be getting out the kind of the best opportunity. You might not be, your value might not be really intact, but if Edouard stays next year, gets 35, 40 goals in the full season, whatever it is, just have a better season, his stock might go higher and he might get a better club and he might be a new, because for me, you might get a Brighton, you might get a West Ham or something, but another good season, try and maybe qualify for the Champions League. It could be a better angle for him to go next season, but I'm just saying that to maybe a Celtic fan to keep him.
Yeah.
Nice. Sorry, Ryan, my battery died there. I had to get it back on there. There's so many questions to say what players are going to stay, what players are going to go. We can't have a big, massive fire sale. I'm hoping now, it's obviously got to be John Kennedy at the end of the season, isn't it? So Eddie Howe can then start, if it's going to be Eddie Howe the manager, is then can start assessing the squad. I mean, they could go in and look at training and that for stuff, look at players, and he can assess it for now at the end of the season, because there's not much you can do now at the end of the season anyway. And then he can then look at what he needs to identify and maybe speak to players out with, like training and games, and say, what's your thoughts? And meet the squad and say, right, listen, I want to know what guys are committed and what guys aren't they. And I think that's how it will happen. And then Celtic will roughly say, blah, 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 this guy, that guy, and that guy, desperate to go. We reckon we could get the best part of 20 million for the three of them, or 25 million. And then they'll say, we need to balance a wee bit of the books, and then you'll maybe have a budget, I say 17 million. And then I think that's where Eddie Howe will maybe go, if it's Eddie Howe, it's no hand guaranteed yet, as we says. And then he might go, I need a left back, a defensive mid, a right winger, a left winger. and that's what he might go with. You know what I mean? We don't know yet because there's so many players being rumoured to go on to leave, so many players out of contact, so many players are getting linked with people. Realistically, we need the manager and director of football one, and then we can start progressing with all that. Speak to like guys. Like, I think Edwards are definite. I honestly think he's away in the summer. He scored yes. against France under-21s the other night. He's broke all records at France under-21s, so there's still talent there. He's still a good player. I think Ayer's the one we could persuade to stay another year. Maybe give him the captaincy and say, look, one more good season, but there will be probably best part of between 4 and 7, 8 players leaving. It just depends how quickly that will be able to happen. And we don't know what's happening with Fed, Bio and Jack Henry as well. We don't know what's happening with that. Is there buyout clauses in their contact? Is that a definite that they're going to go? They might have to come in and be looked at. It's crazy. It's just one massive job.
But obviously you mentioned about guys like Jack Hendry and Sheridan Bio. For me, Bio, again, we've not seen much of him, but he didn't give me the butterflies or what a play we've got here. Again, a new manager comes in. It could be all different. Jack Hendry, for me, I'm forgetting about him. I watched him again against Israel. It was hopeless. It took half at half-time. For me, Celtic, to any team in Belgium, the standard's different. I understand you've got to go and get games and you might come back and play better, but I just can't see him at a Celtic centre-back. I can't see him making us better in Europe, and I think that's what we need today, because even, I'm not going to lie, I probably still got Shane Duffy and Jack Hendry. I've been honest, I know Shane Duffy's had a bad season, but the guy's a captain of Ireland. So for me, I'd rather be captain of Ireland in my team than I would a guy who's not really kicking the ball for Celtic. Shaved, I thought he was going to be a belter. When I seen, obviously, YouTube makes you look good. We know that.
Everyone thought that, didn't they?
But even the game, I think there was a qualifier he scored. It was an absolute belter of a goal. And then he was never to be seen. And I'm like, wait a minute here. We've got a guy who scored a lot of goals in a top league in Ukraine. And he wasn't even one of the best teams. And I think he was one of the top goal scorers for outside, for left mid or right mid. So for me, I would give him another chance, Robert, as a better manager. Again, these players could be, Christy, these players could be absolutely sick to how we're treated. And when I'm looking back at that club again.
We don't know what's happening. That's simply it. We don't know. Everybody's got a clean slate now. And some players will need to take their chance. Like Lee Griffiths, I think, has his hanging by a tooth nail. I think he's had so many chances, and I think Celtic's been good to him, but he's not repaid us the way the club's repaid him. I mean, he's in the 18.5 grand a week wages. I don't know if many people know that, but to me, that's an astronomical amount of money to be putting out week in, week out for somebody who is...
I didn't even know that. That's news to me.
I get sent it. Will's wages, I get sent it. He was in £18,500 a week on this. It might be wrong, but that wage he was on, and I thought, wow, that's quite a...
That's crazy.
Massive wage for somebody who's no repaid us this season. Maybe next season they might come out and be brilliant. I don't know, depending on what happens. But I think there's just a lot of people there that's probably having the under wages this season. And I think they either owe us or we owe to leave the club or to come out and all guns blazing. Even we've still got the Scottish Cup to go. You know what I mean? So I feel we just need the manager in place, the director of football in place. And things just need to get start moving in the right direction and at a speed, because the qualifiers will be around the corner as well.
Talk about qualifiers, as we say, Christy. I'm getting ready for a big beat on centre back again.
There's no point pretending that's not going to happen. It'll be centre half.
And obviously, we're talking about Ayer, Christy. How's... Obviously, he was rumoured to go to Newcastle and stuff, £8 million. £8 million for his left ball. I mean, the guys, for me, he's came on leaps and bounds this year. I agree with Robert. I think for me, Cameron McGregor's no the successor as a captain. I don't think he's not that character. I don't think he's the sort of guy that's going to shout it. Again, I don't know the ins and outs of what he's like at the training ground, but for me, as a fan, I think by the looks of it, he might be, because he's done a lot of the interviews and stuff that Scott Brown wasn't doing. So, you know, you kind of put two and two together and you think, right, he could be the captain next year. But how is it down south, like your McGregor's, Edwards, Ayers? Are they thought of any quality down south?
Yeah, it's a tough one, because whenever anyone for Celtic is linked with someone, there's always the question of, can they do it? But then I always say, more often than not, they have. You know, Van Dijk was the amount of people that were saying, oh, what a waste of money, 70 million was on Van Dijk. Forster went down, he was Southampton's number one for a few years. Probably Gary Hooper was one of the only ones that probably didn't quite do it, but I think he had a few problems with injury. But yeah, like I said, it's a tough one, because there's always people turning their nose up at someone from coming from Scotland down south, you know, pub league, can they do it? But then I always say, well, list off them players, Wanyama, another one, they've all seemed to do it, bar one or two. So I think there's a load of Celtic players, I think, that can come down south and do well.
Because for me, I think Robert, I don't know if Robert will echo the same opinion, maybe, but I generally think Edouard could play for any team in England, any team, Man City, Arsenal, Man United, anybody. I really rate the guy. I think he's supposed to have had a bad season and he scored 20 odd goals. I think he scored, including games for France, and I think it's 20 odd, 8 goals or something. Oh, and that's him having COVID. He's no played some part through injury. So for me, the guy, I know we've kind of been criticising him. It's no critical. It's critical because of what the standard he's set.
Yeah.
But see if you maybe look at his... obviously, I haven't looked at the data to prove it, but see if you maybe look at his data. His data's probably still really good. He's finished again the other night, as Robert mentioned. What a finish. But we have... For us, that's no surprise. But I generally think that he could definitely play for guys like Man City, Arsenal, Leicester... Yeah. I think he's better than some of the guys at that level, in my opinion. I don't know what you think of the players down south, but I think he could definitely fit into the teams 100%.
Yeah, I think the Edouard of last season, just coming into the COVID, I mean, that's the best I've seen him. You know, his touch is unbelievable. I love a striker with a great first touch, and you wrap a ball into him and he'll just take it. I love how he takes it on the half turn. And yeah, I think he can play. To be honest, I think Rodgers might come sniffing in for him at Leicester. I mean, I'm sure he said he was one of the best young players he's worked with or something like that. So I could see him coming in for him. With obviously Jamie Vardy getting a bit older, I could see that happening. But to be honest, I think he could probably play high in that.
I know we've spoken about Robert again, how he might have not had the best of seasons, but still to score 20 odd goals, and considering we're not playing that best, playing that good this season, I think he is just going to go into bigger things.
For me, right, Edward, there's only three teams he wouldn't get a game with down in England. It's Liverpool, Man City, and Man U. He's getting at Spurs, Neighbourer, Leicester, West Ham, Newcastle, Crystal Palace. He's better than all their strikers out with the three teams. The only reason I'd say, man, you have Cavani and Martial, right? Liverpool have the three amigos, brilliant front three, and Big Origi's, I don't know, he's all right, you know what I mean? But he's probably better than Origi for what I've seen. I might be wrong. I might be talking absolute shite. That's just my opinion. You've got, at Man City, you've got Aguero and Jesus, and they don't even need to play with a striker. Sometimes Man City, they just play with a false 10 or a 9 or whatever you want to call it. It all depends, obviously, but I think, as Christy says, he's perfect for Rodgers to go in at Leicester, because Vardy's what, 34 now?
Yeah,
starting to be injuries. But what I've liked with Rodgers is, Iheanacho has started hitting a bit of form down there under Rodgers, and I feel... Every player that goes with Rodgers, no, every player, but 95% improve as players.
Yeah.
And I think he knows what Edouard's all about. He knows if he gets him down there. In Scotland, It's hard for Edward with his great touch and his silky skills, because sometimes he's playing against a back five or a back four, solid defence. Down there, he's on one-on-one with some of these players. He'll exploit them and turn them inside out, because there's some average defenders down there, and he will score goals. And the way Rodgers plays the counter-attack with Edward as a number nine, I think it would work a treat. And at 25, 20 million, it's a total steal in this modern day. Because you look at Newcastle signed that boy Jolton, whatever he is. They paid £40 million for him. And I think if that's the sort of money they're paying for a guy like that, Edward is a total steal. And Benteke at £32 million for Crystal Palace as well. £25 million in the Premier League is absolute nothing. And I think Rodgers would quite happily snap your hand after it at that. I think that's his perfect team he should go to. Is Leicester, they're going to be a Champions League team next season as well.
Yeah.
No, I can agree. I wouldn't say that he would start for day three, but he could definitely end the squad. I don't think he would start for Liverpool, as you mentioned, day three. But I don't want him to go. But I think, Christy, I think I agree with Robert that maybe his time has come to an end with the rebuild. And I think maybe some of the money, if we do get it from him, it'll kind of aid in our kind of transfer window.
Yeah, I was saying Leicester, but I'd absolutely hate it if he went to any team. You know what I mean? I love the guy. I mean, like I said, the back end of last year, there was always comparisons with him and Dembele, and that was actually sad that he never really got to see them two properly playing as a two together. I think that would have been some partnership. I think maybe he's run his cycle. I mean, the only thing, I think that we might get a bit more than everyone thinks because we paid quite a lot. I mean, 25 million or maybe 20 for Dembele, but we only paid 600-700 grand for him. So the fact we paid, I think it was close to 9 million or something like that, wasn't it, for Edward? That might bump his price up, but like today, money's short all over football now, so who knows what could go for.
Because obviously he says as money is short and stuff, but as we spoke about, the money down south is never going to be short, obviously with Sky and other things. Which obviously we don't stay down south, so we don't know the thoughts of what it's like living in England and obviously Celtic and obviously as they call it, a pub league. How do you think the financial gap really does affect us, especially when it comes to buying players?
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, there's like you've both been saying, the amount of money that every single team, and not even just the Premier League, some of the Championship teams, they're spending 40, 50 million a summer on players. And then, well, it says it all, Celtic's record signing is probably Edward at 9 million. You could buy anyone for 9 million in the Premier League, you throw away. And the gap is so big for finance, and you see it in Europe. I mean, I was watching an old Celtic European night, and the commentary said they'd not been beaten at Celtic Park for 10 years or something. I see teams like when PSG came a couple of years ago, they spent 200 million on Neymar, 150 on Mbappe. You can't compare with teams in Europe now with money. There's no money in Scotland, and English Premier League just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and probably likely the gap's going to get bigger.
Because it's true, obviously, what you mentioned there, Christy, when we spoke to William on the podcast before, Robert, he even says he thinks that Celtic Rangers might be looking at League One players soon because the financial gap's it's that poor.
It's definitely, I can see that. I even reckon if it still keeps going, it could be conference teams that you're looking at for players. It's like, this is how massive the difference is. To win the Scottish Premier League, you get 3.5 million for a game in England. They're averaging £10 million for Sky. That, to me, is just astronomical. It's like, if we don't compete in Europe, then the source of income is really for the fans, because winning the Scottish League, you get £1 million for winning the Scottish Cup. So you've got the best part of 600 grand for winning the League Cup. So to win the treble in Scotland, you're really realistically only getting £5 million to win the treble. And that, for winning three trophies at any level, is quite poor, if you ask me. I don't think that's really great. Obviously, they'll earn that for fans and whatever else, but for such a big club at Celtic, I mean, even the Dutch league's now talking about merging with the Belgian league to make it a bigger attraction to get more money. I don't know if we'll maybe need to look at, there's talk about maybe going to the lower leagues in France, like France, and try to merge with them. I don't know even if they've done like a British Cup or something, or maybe even Ireland and Wales coming into the Scottish league to make it a kind of Nations League type of thing. I don't know, but the way football is going, I think these things are a possibility. We might end up in the English league in years to come, but I don't know with all the stuff with Celtic and Rangers. I don't think they want it really as much down there as we want it. I don't know how Christie thinks of that. I think they probably think Celtic and Rangers support's just going to cause a lot of trouble in England.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I speak to my mate sometimes and I say, how do you think they'd get on in the Premier League? And then you get the, you know, oh, they'd be in the Championship, they'd get relegated. But they don't understand the size of them two clubs, put them in England with their money, the amount of success they'll have is, it would only take them a year and they'd be, I'd say, cracking probably top six in a year after that first year in Premier League, easy. I mean, you've seen what teams like West Ham go, the size of Celtic, it just needs that money injection, which you would get in the Premier League. And people just say, it's a pub league, there'd be Championship, but they don't understand the size. They don't understand. And if you're, you know, if you're one of the top young players in the world, and Celtic and Rangers are coming for you, but then you see that they're playing in Scotland, you're probably going to turn your nose up. When they're playing in England and you're playing the best teams in England, you know, it's such more attractive move. So, but yeah.
Because it's, for me, I find it very, I try and bite my tongue, especially when it comes to on Facebook and Twitter and the match of the day kind of feed and stuff. I bite my tongue when I'm like, you just don't understand how big these clubs are. You think guys supporting like Middlesbrough and Colchester saying that's a pub league. I'm like, listen, yeah. Celtic Rangers, as we mentioned, we don't like talking about Rangers, but in the day, they're a massive club. They've got a massive infrastructure like us, the fan base. Their fans are passionate. Your fans are passionate. It's, you pay, as I said before, you pay your money, your season bill, all week, all you think about is got the game on Saturday, got to Celtic. All we days of fresh Twitter, Celtic Twitter, and it's got everything. They've got everything to be, as you mentioned, big clubs down there. But again, some fans might go, I don't want to go there because we're a Scottish club and we just want to be here. But I think if we're going to ever, for me, the only way we're going to compete massively, obviously, me and Rob spoke about months ago about changing the structure, maybe copying the Leipzig model or the Ajax model, just changing the difference of how you maybe get your players kind of into the pathway of getting into better clubs and for selling money. But for me, the only way we're going to get better is getting a better income, or if somebody from like Dubai or Qatar or Africa takes you over, because I know we've got Dermot Desmond, but he's not going to shove £100 million into Celtic because he knows he's not going to get money back. So I think that's the reason why these big clubs, Robert, I think in it down south, like your Man City owners, they know they're going to get it back somehow through, if it's revenue, if it's through winning the Premier League, if it's, if I talk shit, they sign Yaya Toure, how many short sales are they going to get? Fair enough, we sign guys like Nakamura, we're going to sell some shirts, but it's not going to get you money back that you pay for them.
No, see, this is the thing with the Premier League as well now. You remember, Man U were the top team in England. They could handpick players for every team in England. When can you see Liverpool going in and stealing the best players out of all the teams of Man U now? There's that much money in England, they don't need to sell these players. Jack Grealish just signed a new deal. We asked him for it, £200 grand a week. He doesn't need to go to Tottenham and all that. Aye, all right. he might want to go to these teams to win trophies and stuff like that, but it's no guaranteed. But it now becomes, man, you had to pay £80 million for Harry Maguire, who to me is a basic defender, but they need to pay over the odds now. Obviously, Van Dijk went for £75 million. I don't think that was over the odds because he's the best player defender in the world, in my opinion. But some of these smaller teams now in England have got that much money, they don't need to sell players. It's scary. And that's how that league is becoming so competitive, that you're seeing a Leicester in second place, you're seeing a West Ham up in that position, because they're generating that much money, they're holding on to their players that they maybe had to sell years ago, which then like your Andy Coles and Dwight Yorks all went to Man United, Teddy Sheringham and that. Man United could handpick, but now you don't get to see these players practically handpicked. If these bigger teams, are your Chelsea's or that, have to pay for Ben Chilwell, £60 million, £58 million for players, then they can reinvest that into the smaller teams as in Leicester and stuff. Like, Leicester just spent £80 million on a youth a training ground with Harry Maguire's money, and it's one of the most impressive in the world. It looks incredible, and it just shows now the sort of money now in the Premier League is the smaller clubs can go and buy players and go, well, you can stay here on the same money and we can compete, or you can go to a bigger team. But if the bigger team want you, then they're going to have to pay crazy amounts of money. It's mad now that the Premier League's like that, but it's making it a better league, I suppose. Yeah. It just shows that side of the money.
Aye, definitely. Obviously, Christy, you obviously live down south and you see some of the transfer fees up here, £1 million, £2 million. See, look, Celtic signed some £3 million. I'm thinking, like, Tumble, that's a lot of money. But down south, £3 million is like £3.
Yeah. £3 million is probably what the agent gets in the deal. It's crazy money, and it's only going to get bigger as well. The Premier League is so big now worldwide, it's only going to get bigger.
Did you see the Haaland's agent, what he was doing today?
Oh, in Barcelona?
And Real Madrid.
Oh, was he? Well, yeah. He'll speak to everyone, I think, won't he?
They reckon that they're speaking to the five big clubs in the world, the agent and his dad, and they're going round the five clubs. And
Jesus Christ. He must have the pick of anyone.
Yeah, so you think about what sort of money they'll be demanding and fees and crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I can actually see him. I can actually see him at Man City, to be honest. They're letting Aguero go. Like, they need him anyway, but I think they'll push the ball out for him because he's special.
Yeah, definitely.
Because we've kind of spoke about before, Christy, like Celtic, how obviously the recruitment's been quite poor this season. It's probably been quite poor for a while, but because we've had a good manager in Rodgers the last few years.
Yeah,
it kind of overshadowed because he improved the players that we had. But we've spoken about before in the podcast that Celtic maybe need to kind of make the horizons bigger when it comes to scouting. If it is Scandinavian, if it is going to Africa and scouting these unknown players, like Haaland, Celtic have signed Haaland when he was 15, hadn't sent a scout, or he was linked to, he got offered to Celtic. I don't know what it was, but I know Celtic's name was rumoured, and I don't know how much they were asking, but surely at 15, if Celtic had a proper scout, they'd have went, aye, £1 million, we'll get him. There's guys who we've been rumoured to sign before, and they've only been absolute belters. Obviously, we know it's all hearsay, we don't know the ins and outs, but we definitely need to have a better, hopefully, if it is Eddie Howe, and he brings in a full new structure, that the recruitment is going to be better. Because I think, I seen a stat the other day, between Nicky Hammond and Lee Congdon, they've spent £62 million, roughly. And for us, club at Scotland, and Rodgers was there for what, 3 years, roughly. Nicky Hammond's been here for about a year and a bit. So within between 4 to 5 years, we've spent £62 million in players. And how many successes have we had? Yeah. I don't know how many we've had, really. We've not had a lot, but we've had Sinclair was a bit of success.
Yeah.
Edouard's been a success.
All ones at the start, really, wasn't it? I mean, it summed it up, really, because Rodgers was after that Castagna and that James Justin, two fullbacks at Leicester. I mean, Castagna, they were wanting big money for him, but it was obviously a top player. But then that James Justin from Luton, I think it was. They were after. They won't pay 500 grand or something like that. And he goes to Leicester. I want him and him. Give him the money, and then look at them, they're flying. So that, like I say, if Eddie Howe comes in, he needs to be backed and he needs to be trusted with his players as well. I don't want to see Eddie Howe wants this and you end up with someone that he never wanted. You know what I mean?
Echoes a Tony deal.
Yeah, I know that deal's still. People are saying forget about it. But as a fan, how can you forget about? Maybe you had the chance to sign a guy for whatever. Yeah. Maybe the same amount of money for your Yeti, and he's people are saying aye, but Pookie done well in the Championship. He went to Premier League, was poor, but the Championship is maybe it's not the equivalent of quality to the SBL, but you can get some decent players. Obviously, I've seen the guy Liam Shaw. But I don't know if you know anything about him, Christy, at Sheffield Wednesday, but I don't know anything about the guy. So he's coming here to really impress us fans. Again, the thing is really, if it has got to be Eddie Howe, right, is Eddie Howe known about he's getting this for a few months and he's scouted Liam Shaw? Because obviously Nicky Hammond's left. So who's scouting these players when you look at a guy at the head of the football?
Yeah, I don't know. Going back to Tony as well, you're probably not going to want to hear this, but watched him. He was at Peterborough. I was watching him. He did Peterborough play Blackpool. And oh my God, he was some player. You know, the best. He was the best player I'd seen that year by far. Absolutely. I know it's League One standard, but when I seen Celtic were after him, he was like, because obviously when you see players on the telly, they're so much different when you see him in the fashion. He was like 6'4". He looks quite skinny when you see him on pictures, but he was massive. And when I found out that Celtic weren't going to pay the money for him, I was so disappointed because he was some player. I know that's probably not what you're going to hear, but he was some player. And to be fair, they were wanting close to 10 million and he was a League One player. So I could sort of see why they didn't want to pay that sort of money. But I mean, look at him now. He's probably going to be destined to the Premier League as well, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's, he's going to definitely go to. There was links, supposedly, Arsenal and all that, and he's not going to go for £10 million. Now that might be £10 million for his right leg, so it's going to be, again, I'm excited about, if it is Eddie Howe, if we do end up with somebody who we don't want, but I'm excited just about a new structure. Again, we've been banging on about a new structure since been about September time, and after kind of like Ferencváros game, and about the Champions League, we spoke about how we need to strip things back and the manager's got to go. And some fans were speaking with it, but me and Robert been bang on about it for months, how we need to change the structure. And now I think we can gradually see, Robert, it is maybe a slow pace, but I think some fans need to understand these things they take time. And if we need to get it right, we need to take time. And if it does take to tomorrow, next week, then we just need to be patient and hopefully the Desmond and Dom McKay obviously get it done properly.
It's now looking that way that you're starting to see stuff is happening and we're getting wee snippets and bits of it. These talks could have been going on for 6 weeks, 7 weeks. We don't know because everything's hush-hush in it. Everything's done in London with Dermot Desmond's fancy house in London and they have all these meetings and you hear players talking about it and managers about how they do meet and that's that. Where they go to is London because there's no press and that down there really forward on my boot and stuff. So, as we say, this could have been going for 6-7 weeks, and maybe they have, and maybe they're just waiting in finer details to get ironed out before they go, right, blah, 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 this is it, and release it to the press and the fans. But they held back on the season books, which tell me they've obviously been in contact with, it now looks like Eddie Howe is the man. They've now just get rid of Nick Hammond, who was a fucking scout, which tells me Eddie Howe wants his own guy in. And this is all just to get ironed out. And I think it's probably a matter of days away from being complete and the full package of what we're going to see and what we're going to be left with. So it's exciting.
Aye. For me, it's exciting because I've banged on about Eddie Howe for a long time now. I might have banged on it too much about the podcast, but me generally and kind of in general, people, Celtic fans, I've said, I think, again, if he comes and fails, I'll have egg in my face because I'm bang on about him. But I generally think he'll transform us. No, I'm not saying he's got to be like Rodgers, but he's that similar Ilka Rodgers, fresh ideas, as you mentioned, Christy, somebody exciting, attacking play. And obviously the last wee bit, Christy, what's your thoughts on obviously this season as a whole and obviously the future? Obviously, if Howe comes in, what would you maybe expect the summer, kind of rebuild to happen?
On about this season, how long have we got? I mean, I was speaking to my dad the other day, and someone said, if someone had gone and got a big piece of paper and said, this is what happens this year to Celtic, and just written down everything, you'd have gone, no, not a chance. It's like everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong. And, you know, you can blame it on COVID or fans. I think it's probably not a fair one because other teams are doing it. They shot themselves in the foot so many times. It was embarrassing. The only shining light was players like Turnbull and Soro coming into it. Too late coming into it, but still getting a chance. And hopefully them two, especially are two players that are right in the core of Celtic next year, because they've been the only ones that I can say I've been impressed with.
Aye, I think we've spoken about it, haven't we, Robert, that people might be bored of fans and other podcasts and ourselves talking about Turnbull, but I'm surprised again how he's best in the squad for Scotland. Again, Steve Clark says he's man for the future. Well, if that's what you think about him, get him in the new, know the future. And for me, I think he's going to be somebody we need to build a team around coming up at the end of the season. Obviously, still got a Scottish Cup to play for, which is in Falkirk on Saturday. Again, I think we'll win. I think people say it could be an upset. I don't think it'll be an upset. I think it'll be a formality. We just need to try and get the game done and just kind of move on to the season. And obviously, the new manager of it could be announced by then, so it could give the players something to think about. How will he play performance-wise? It might give him a wee lift, and it could be a quite going over for Falkirk, especially with the kind of, as you say, the freshness, the ideas. And never know how, if he is by the end of the season, he could have a wee Bob to Kennedy.
I don't think Falkirk on League One or something. I think it would just be a comfortable 3-0 win. There's one boy that it's quietly went about his business this season, and I don't think he takes a lot of limelight, and the boy Welsh. I think he's been actually one of the signing lights as well, Welsh. I don't think he's anything spectacular, but he goes about his business well, and him and Ayer seem to have a decent enough partnership. One thing I hope the manager comes in and sorts out is fucking defending crossbars into our box with a corner, a free kick, or a standing cross. We'll go back to the Rangers game. There was nobody on the post. How many times have we conceded with nobody on the post and nobody marking at corners? That, to me, that's happened all season. And I think the stat I read was 43% of Celtic's goals this season have came from crosses. I don't know what it takes to coach players of a higher standard, but for fuck's sake, does it not take somebody to say, I'm taking responsibility and going to go and meet a ball and he did it as high up a part as I possibly can? I don't know how players need to be coached on that. I don't get it.
That was going to be Shane Duffy. Shane Duffy was the man to win everything in the air, the no-nonsense defender, and obviously seems to get worse when he was in the team. So, yeah, like I said, it's a shambles. They're just weak as piss. Corners. I honestly don't understand it.
We need a couple of strong mentality men in there, I think. I think the team lacks in that without Brown. And obviously he's played some games, but there's no players of that Ike anymore that like to be strong and fling their head where it hurts, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously, and that, but we've got to remember that guy's dad died and stuff, and he has had a lot of stuff happened, and he's probably not played the way he wanted to play, and he's probably grieving as such as well. So we just need, I reckon if Eddie Howe comes in, he will know players down there that can do the basic stuff right. And I think sometimes as a defender, we want to have this big sulky playing fucking Van Dijk. We all would love that. But sometimes just doing the basics right is all you need to do in football, especially as a defender. And I think that's what we lacked this season, a bit of basics back and things like that. You know what I mean? But we'll just see in what the future's holding on that one.
It's been a whirlwind season, as you both say. For me, there's been the only positive, I think, as you say, Chris, has maybe been Tumble and Sorrow and obviously Welsh, Robert. I just hope, obviously, there's a lot of expectation now that he's going to get announced. I hope a lot is they'll get egg in their face because we're all spoken about him, how hot Glasgow is, how this, how that. So we've put all the still game memes out, we've been full it. So I just hope for our sake, and I think just for Celtic's sake, I think we get the deal done. Because I think obviously I think Dom McKay's been involved in it. People saying he wasn't involved in it. We all knew he was going to be involved somehow because Lawwell's leaving, so Lawwell can't be involved in it. Obviously, we don't know if Fergal Hagen's going to come in. He's rumoured to come in as DOF. Again, we'll just need to wait that out and see. But again, Robert, Christy, thanks for your time, boys. And hopefully, how is announced soon, hopefully for your sake and some of the fans' sake. Thanks a lot, guys. Cheers.
Thanks for having me, boys. Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Feels the need.